I didn't make anybody feel old when I said a long time ago in the church with the joy bus, did I? Yeah. You know, this, some of these kids, they don't even know life without the internet, you know? They don't even know what it looks like to have a world without some of these things. So, okay, well, I welcome you here tonight. Thank you for being here for our evening service tonight. And I hope that your day has been restful in the Lord. All right, so tonight we are continuing to explore this idea of kingdom come. And this is the seventh train of thought in my random train of thought on this topic. And so I invite you to join me tonight as we explore it some more. How to start? At the beginning? That would be smart, right? Start at the beginning. Yeah, don't start at the end, right? Okay. I have approached this sermon series differently in preparation than I think I ever have any other sermon series. I have really tried. I try to do this, I think, all the time, but I have, in a very intentional and concerted way, I have tried to just ask the question of the Lord. Lord, you said, pray your kingdom come. I want your kingdom to come. Your rule and your reign in the lives of people. I want to see spiritual revival in my own heart and life, and spiritual revival renewal break out among the individuals of this church and your people the world over, and for churches to be renewed. But Lord, how can that happen, and what does that look like? And I will tell you that I've honestly asked the Lord that question, and I have just opened the scripture each week, and I've just let the Lord kind of lead me to a passage. This is not, when I said at the outset, this is not like a traditional sermon series, because in a sermon series, you kind of plan it ahead of time, and you say, okay, I know what I want to accomplish in this sermon series, so part one is going to be this, part two is going to be this, part three is going to be this, and it's going to be really nice and rounded, I'm going to button it up here, and I've just completely abandoned that for this series. And because I wanted to try to arrest any agenda or any purpose of my own in this, and just say, Lord, you lead me to a passage that you want me to teach on this week that will help me and us to better understand this idea of kingdom come. And I was led to a passage this week that is really hard. And some of you are not going to like it. And I didn't like it. And I'm wrestling with it. So I'm gonna share this with you tonight. And regardless of how you feel about it, I want you to leave tonight not feeling any reaction to anything I say. I want you to leave tonight with a holy conviction that whether or not you are completely feeling anything I say in the specific, I want you to leave tonight with the conviction that we have to come to terms with what Jesus is saying right here. So I've got some thoughts. You can take them or leave them. But what you can't leave is what Jesus says. And so I want you to wrestle with it like he has made me wrestle with it this week. And I believe it is from the Lord that he means for us all to wrestle with it. So, here it is. I think we all recognize that we don't see the kingdom coming as vibrantly in our culture today as we as God's people would want to see it come. So that begs the question, why? What is standing in the way of God's kingdom come? I suppose that question could be answered in a lot of different ways. But based on what I'm seeing Jesus say in the passage I'm going to share with you in a moment, one thing is abundantly clear. Someone has observed that this is true of any organization, whether it's a business or a church or God's kingdom, any kind of organization of people together for a cause or a mission, that the system you have in place is perfectly designed for the results that you're getting. Let that sink in. The system that you currently have is perfectly designed for the results that you're getting. Which means, if you want different results, you have to change the system. If we want refreshment and revival that comes only from the Lord, what Jesus is saying here, and this is hard. I don't even want to say what I'm about to say, but Jesus is screaming it. If we want this revival and renewal to come, it may not be possible with our present system of restriction. Here's our text. Look at Luke. We're in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to make mention of what's going to lead up to what he says in just a moment, but we're going to focus in on a particular section. This is Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 39. Now, the they here are Jesus' critics. Those that didn't like what Jesus was doing. They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But your disciples go on eating and drinking." And Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." Then he told them this parable. "No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say, 'The old is better.'" More on verse 39 in a moment. The Pharisees were constantly attacking Jesus. They were upset in verses 17 through 26 that Jesus was offering forgiveness of sins. They were absolutely distraught that Jesus would extend friendship to blatant sinners. That's verses 27 up through verse 32. You see, Jesus was not operating under the traditional, established patterns and parameters of Jewish religion. He was not doing what was expected by the religious establishment. Jesus was as outside of the box as anybody you could imagine. He was on the front lines of the messiness of people's lives. Jesus did not toe the party line just to simply maintain the religious structures of his day. He was actively bringing about the kingdom into people's lives. And he would not allow the religious establishment to stand in his way. Now, the Pharisees were critical, as we see here in verse 33, of the fact that Jesus and his disciples were not regularly practicing prayer and fasting like the old guard did. The old guard of the Pharisees that trained their disciples, and even John, the forerunner of Jesus, trained his disciples. Instead, Jesus and his disciples are going about in celebration, eating and drinking. You see, they don't look like the traditional picture of what religious people were supposed to do. There's a joyfulness and a freedom that Jesus and his disciples are living in. Now, Jesus admits in verse 35, the time is going to come. There's a time and a place for fasting. But he also admits that there's a proper place for feasting and joy and celebration. You see, when you realize that the bridegroom is in your midst, it's time to celebrate. See, the Pharisees had a wrong perspective about worship. They believed that for worship to be reverent, it had to always be somber. But when you're in the presence of the King, worship should be a celebration. In fact, Paul would say in Romans 14, 17, that the kingdom of God is all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How can, Jesus said, the friends of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? Church, is he not with us now? The Spirit of Christ dwelling in our very midst, in our bodies, as we are temples of his Holy Spirit. Jesus, you see, was ushering in the kingdom of God. And it was a new age that had moved beyond the restrictions and the regulations of the old religious system. And instead, Jesus in its place was bringing the freedom to serve God enthusiastically and passionately. Jesus' kingdom is like new wine, he says. It is fresh and invigorating. Jesus did not come to patch up the old religious system of Judaism with its rules and traditions. His purpose was to fulfill the law and to start bringing something new. Although it had been prophesied for centuries in the law, he was bringing about the realization of this new system that could not fit in the old patterns of thought. You see, the gospel could not be contained and fit into the old, rigid, legalistic systems of religion. The gospel offered grace, and Judaism only offered law and rule keeping. Now, in Bible times, Jesus tells this parable. And I want to focus in on the portion of the wineskins. Jesus keys in on this cultural concept. In those days, wine was stored in goat skins that had been sewn together around the edges to create a watertight bag called a wineskin. Now, since new wine is in the process of fermentation, the new wineskins, if they're new, still have a flexibility to them. The new wineskin, being fresh, allows for expansion of the fermenting wine. It has a flexibility to it. Whereas an old wineskin that has already been previously used cannot contain new wine because the old wineskin is old and brittle and has lost its ability to stretch. Has lost its capability to adapt or to be flexible. And so because it no longer has those traits, if you try to put new wine in the old wineskins, you lose both the wineskin and the wine because it bursts and spills. Jesus is bringing the new wine of the kingdom, but it could not be placed within the old structures of traditions of the establishment. New wine required new formats and new structures. Let's bring it home a bit. The point Jesus is clearly making, you can disagree with any specific that I give, but you cannot escape the clear implication of what Jesus is saying here. When you and I are so rigid about the forms of our faith that we're not adaptable, we have no elasticity to our methodology, it keeps the kingdom from coming. It prevents God's kingdom come. The structure itself does. You see, when we're married to traditions, we prevent the kingdom from coming. When we stop being able to be flexible and to adapt to the situations around us, we're no longer willing to stretch and to grow, we are preventing God's kingdom come. That is clearly what Jesus is saying. Now, make no mistake, God's kingdom is unshakable. God's word, immovable. But our forms and structures and methodologies must always be fluid and flexible. Because when they're not, the wine will burst the wineskins and we'll lose both. And I'm convinced that part of the reason why we're seeing churches struggle today is because of an unwillingness to be flexible. And we're seeing both being lost, the wine and the wineskin. So for the kingdom to come, we must be willing, brothers and sisters, to embrace the new wineskins. The religious system of Judaism had become all too rigid. In fact, it had become so rigid it could not even embrace Jesus. And if they could be so rigid in their structures that they had no room for the life and vibrancy of Jesus, if it could happen to them when He was in their midst in the physical form, could it not happen to us too today? Certainly it can and does. I just ask you to wrestle with some honest questions. Okay, let me say before I try to... The purpose of me giving specifics, let me stop here and just give an aside. The elders of this church are tasked with directing the affairs of this congregation. And as we currently have our structure here, it is upon them to determine the direction of the congregation. So if I give any kind of specifics, do not feel like, well, Jonathan said we're going to do X, Y, or Z. Jonathan's not saying we're doing anything. Okay? I just want to present some scenarios to stimulate thought. So don't get hung up on the illustration. Let the wheels turn on the point of it all. I want to ask some questions. Have our forms become so rigid that we actually are preventing people from entering the kingdom? What would it look like if we became so passionate about God's kingdom come that we were convicted that we needed to sell this building? What if God's kingdom come meant that we started occasionally meeting together as the church in the community for worship instead of always coming to the building? Would you be willing to embrace a change of the form? A new wineskin, perhaps. If God's kingdom meant that we started meeting in house, as house churches, would you be willing to embrace the new structure? If God's kingdom meant that we stopped providing sermons and lessons for people to come every week and consume, and instead we challenged every Christian to be in the Word every day of the week and come prepared when we assemble, each one bringing a hymn, a teaching, a story, a testimony, a prayer, or to give an insight, would you be willing to participate? Sounds like 1 Corinthians 14:26 to me. What would it look like if, to be more kingdom focused, we got rid of all the pews and in their place we had chairs in a circle, so that instead of singing to one another's the back of each other's heads, we actually did what Scripture says and teach and admonish one another in our singing? Would you be so uncomfortable that you quit coming to this church because of a new wineskin? What would it look like if we actually embraced the real kind of community of faith? Boy, I tell you, this one, the Lord laid this on my heart, and I'm having a reaction to this one. What would it look like if we actually embraced a real community of faith that involved not just coming together a few times a week during the week for church, but instead we actually started living life together like we read in the book of Acts, to the point that we were even willing, that I was even willing, convicted by the Spirit, we were all convicted to actually sell some of our possessions to provide for needy people among us? Wow. What if the kingdom meant that we loved each other so deeply that there was no room at all anymore for any prejudice against anybody? Would we be willing to murder every prejudice in our hearts against other people, no matter who they might be, in order to let God's presence be proclaimed among the nations from our midst? Now, some of those examples, I just tried to pick some. I'm not saying we are or would or ever would do any of those. I'm just simply saying, I'm trying to get you to think very practically about, am I so tied to the structure of the old wineskin, unwilling to release the old wineskin, that I can't even take in the new wine of Jesus? I can't even embrace the kingdom come because I'm so tied to the old structure that I'm not willing to be flexible. We must be flexible. And we must be open to some of these things. Now, let me tell you, let me amp it up just a little bit more
so I really get in trouble, I guess. Why not, right? You've already gone this far. Why not just jump off into the abyss, okay? So I'm going to show you a three-minute video clip. I've been wrestling all week whether or not to show you this, okay? So please don't hate me for showing you this. I'm just trying to make you think. That's all this is. I'm just trying to make you think, okay? If you leave here thinking, don't just shake my hand, say, good sermon, preacher, and then forget about it by the time you get to Bojangles or whatever, all right? So I want you to think about it. I want you to wrestle with it, okay? You don't have to agree with it. I just want you to encounter this text and wrestle, really wrestle with what Jesus is saying here. And you play it out however you want to play it out, but we've got to deal with what Jesus is saying here if we want the kingdom to come. I'm going to show you a three-minute video clip, and here's why I find this so enlightening, okay? Because here's one of the benefits about our fellowship in the churches of Christ. For a long time, and I think we're not as good as we used to be in this, quite frankly, in some ways. But we have the benefit in the churches of Christ that we don't have any kind of denominational hierarchy. We don't have anybody in Nashville or, you know, Chicago or New York that's telling us, here's what every church of Christ must do and how they got to do it. We don't have anybody that does that. We have complete independence, congregation to congregation. So that's beautiful. Because the church here doesn't have to look the same as it looks in Knoxville or in Nashville. We can have the freedom of flexibility. That is beautiful. We need to encourage that and celebrate that. Now, I think so many times we've lost that, though, and we have become the very thing that we claimed we never wanted to be, and that is we've become rigid in a kind of a religious structure that we railed against in the past. Sometimes we've become that by our own traditions. See, we've cursed those that have been so mired down in their particular denominational traditions, and we tried to claim like we didn't have any. Oh, we've got them. They just look different. They just look different. But here's what's interesting. There's a movement happening among many people in many different stripes of Christendom, where people are starting to wake up to the beauty of God. I think it's a God thing. I think there is something of the Holy Spirit that is working in our culture because people are starting to reject established structures of religion and with all the rigidity that prevents the liveliness of God's kingdom from flourishing. They're rejecting that. Even among some of the most old line, main line denominational structures. And you're starting to see things like what I'm about to show you. This is a very prominent pastor. He would call himself a pastor in a large denominational church. And I want you to hear what he said to his congregation and wrestle with it. Let's look at this video.
The time will come in the next several years when one of you will call me and say, Mike, I've got a problem. What's your problem? Well, do you remember a few weeks ago you told us to stay home one Sunday just so we could see what our neighbors do on Sunday? Yeah. Well, my wife and I did that. We met some of our neighbors, talked to some of our neighbors. They were running. How can I help you be better equipped? How can I support you? What can I do to help you to reach the neighbors that see you now as their pastor? That's the way the early church did it. That's the way 21st century church will do it as well.
Now, you might have all kinds of reactions to that. You might poke all kinds of holes in that and have all kinds of reasons why that's a horrible idea, whatever. I just use it for the illustration's sake. Here is someone in a highly structured, established religious organization who is beginning to say, if we want to see God's kingdom come, we've got to be flexible enough to take a look at our structures. We've got to be flexible enough to allow God's kingdom to come wherever it wants to come and not mandate where it comes. Now, again, you might, I don't know how this hits you. I know how it hits me, and it's hard.
I'm wrestling with it. And then we come to verse 39. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. Now, when you first read that, it seems a bit confusing, and it seems out of place with what Jesus has been saying previously, but it's not at all. It's very much in line. Now, again, you got to ask the question when you look at verse 39, what is the new wine? The new wine, in the context, is the kingdom that Jesus was bringing. The kingdom come of God that is ushering its way into the lives of people through his ministry. And he says, but some people, they've been drinking the old wine, so they don't want the new. Why? Because they say the old is good enough. The old is better. Now remember, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. And they liked the way that they had church going like it was. Thank you very much. Jesus, we don't need you rocking this boat. We got a pretty good system in place here. It's working for us, at least they thought. In fact, they were so intoxicated on the old wine, the familiar, the comfortable, the traditional forms of their religion, that they actually thought the old way it was better than Jesus' way. The mantra of the Pharisees would have been, give me that old-time religion. They refused any new wineskins, and therefore they missed the new wine. Because they thought the old wine was good enough for them. They missed God's kingdom come. Do you realize that loyalty to the old ways can actually prevent you from experiencing God's kingdom come? If we're going to be serious about God's kingdom come, we have got to, church, sweet church, we have got to welcome Jesus' new wine. And if we're serious about his new wine, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. It'll burst. It requires a change of form, a flexibility of structure, which means that the church of the future, God's kingdom, which is unshakable based on God's word that is immovable, but in structure, in format, and in methodology may look completely different than anything we're accustomed to. And are we really willing to welcome Jesus' kingdom come? Or will we be like the Pharisees who say, the old is better? You probably don't like me for bringing this up. I got to tell you, this week, whenever I was studying, I was like, Lord, why did you bring me to this passage? I like what I've always known. I find great comfort and safety in that. But sometimes it's my love of safety and comfort that is preventing powerful things from God from happening. It may be in inhibiting His kingdom come. Let's pray for the Lord to help us. Would you bow? Father, I recognize that as a presenter of your gospel, that I am flawed. I pray, Father, that you, through your Holy Spirit, will have been able to work through my words tonight in such a way that no one would leave here stumbling over any of my choice of words or illustrations. But I pray that your Holy Spirit would work deeply in the heart of every person that has heard this message, and that this week we would wrestle with the words of Jesus and come to terms with what he is teaching us here and be honest about it. And help us to have the courage, the faithfulness to go wherever that means that we go. Help us not to seek first our kingdom, but to seek first your kingdom. give us clarity to see what that looks like, the beauty and the freedom that is found in Christ. Shake us from our comfort and our apathy and our traditions that may stand in the way of your kingdom come. And help us, Father, to embrace new wineskins that will hold the wine of your Son's kingdom come. We confess, Father, that we're creatures of habit, and we're hesitant to remove things that we find to be safe and familiar. But I pray, Father, that you would stir in us a holy desire to want something that is bigger than our comfort, that is bigger than our safety, that is bigger than any hesitation we might have, that you would cast out the demons of fear and apprehension and give us the courage to embrace new approaches, to be adaptable and flexible. Father, break our addiction to the old way and move us into the freshness and the vibrancy of your new wine. Help us, Father, not to hitch our wagon to stars of cultural fads. Help us not, Father, to just press agendas or what we might want or what we might prefer, but help us, Father, to dig deep and search our hearts honestly and our motivations and say, Father, all we want is your kingdom to come. And we pray that you would take away anything that stops that, and that you would help us, Father, to embrace anything that would bring that about. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, you need to know that along these same lines, the primary thing that keeps people out of the kingdom of God is being comfortable with the way you're now living your life. And it's only when you realize this system of the way I've been doing my life is not giving me the results that I want, and you have the courage to say, I need to change the system of my lifestyle. That is the biblical doctrine of repentance. And conversion of life that embraces the life of Christ by putting your own life to death. And Jesus will pour into you when you give your life to Him and you say, I want to put away the old man, the old woman, the old wineskin of the person that I was, and I want you to turn me into a new wineskin that can be filled with the new wine of your Holy Spirit that will bring about life and freshness and vibrancy and new life in me. And maybe tonight that's what you need to do. If so, will you come let Jesus fill your life with His Spirit and all the beauty and invigoration of life that brings? If so, we would love to talk to you more about that. If you need to come in repentance and baptism, or if you've got questions, let's study together. If we can help you, come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.